I will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we have part two of our interview with Mr. John DeCola, who is the 1969 IFBB Mr. America winner. Last week, we talked to John for part one of our interview, and this week, we'll be finishing up that interview. I really enjoyed talking to John. He's 81 going on 82 years old. He's in great health. He was a natural bodybuilder. He never got into taking steroids, and he won the IFBB Mr. America contest in 1969. So he's going to talk about that contest again today, where he also talks about judging the 1970 Mr. Olympia contest between Arnold and Sergio. So that's pretty interesting. So we got some more interesting old stories from John DeCola. Before we get to that, I want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. They have offices all over the United States, but they can work with anybody in the continental United States just through their website. Tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they'll give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. All right, we got a few emails from last week's show, so I'll read those in a second. I had my birthday this last week on Wednesday, March 10th. I'm now officially 58 years old. And just to remind me that I'm getting older, I tried to do yoga that morning, and I ended up pulling my back. So my back has been in pain for the last 3 or 4 days, starting to get a little better now. So just in case I forgot how old I was reminded. So I was out of the gym all week, and I was going to do legs that day, and I shouldn't have done my yoga. But it's my own fault because I'm not doing enough yoga, and my back gets tight, and that's what happens. So that was a reminder for the next year, start doing my yoga at least 4 times a week. But I had a good birthday because I got to spend it with my parents who were in town in Florida. So they just went home this weekend and they are back in Chicago now, but the weather's a little warmer out there. So I was really happy I got to spend some time with them while they were here. They took me out to dinner for my birthday, which was really nice. And I'm very happy to have the parents I've got. I'm very grateful and very blessed. So that was really a good birthday. I haven't seen them in a year because of the COVID thing. And for those of you who have been watching my YouTube videos, I'm sure you noticed my face was kind of messed up. I think I mentioned this on the show a couple weeks ago. I had skin cancer right underneath my eye on my cheek. It was just one little spot, and they were going to operate, but then my dermatologist decided there's this new cream out, and it's very, very strong, and I guess it actually like burns out the skin cancer. So he said if it worked, I would not need surgery. So I've been doing this cream 5 days a week for the last 8 weeks. So my face has looked horrible. I had no idea my face was going to look this bad. But I guess he said that my doctor told me that the body is like burning the cancer or something. So it looks pretty bad. But now he said, I went to the doctor the day before my birthday and he said it looks good and it looks like it's gone. So I'll have to come back in 3 months and they'll check it again. But he said stop using the cream. So my face is already starting to look better and it doesn't look all beat up and scabbed up and everything like it was. So hopefully I'll stop getting all those comments on my YouTube videos. where they said it looks like a zit or it looks like what's wrong with his face and all these other nice comments I was getting. So I tried to cover up with a Band-Aid for the John DeCola interview. If you saw that on my YouTube channel, and you could still see my face was kind of messed up, but that's now in the past, and now my face should be getting better. All right, we did get a couple emails from last week. If you guys are interested in emailing me again, you could just do that at naturalolympia@gmail.com. All right, this first email says, John, the shows continue to be great, and the post-interview magazine reads are very interesting. Oh, good. Glad somebody likes them. I was wondering if you or any of your listeners have a magazine article covering the Detroit Pro 87, which was Tom Platz's last show. I've never come across any articles or knowingly seen any pics from the show. Thanks, Paul Thor. Well, Paul, I could ask my friend Pat Comer, who always sends me magazine articles. Every time we have a guest on, they'll always send me an old magazine article about that guest. Pat has got a big collection. I'm sure he'll hear this on the podcast, so maybe he will send us that. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen any pics from that show either. I know that was Tom Platz's last show, but I'm sure Flex Magazine must have covered it because they covered all the pro shows. So maybe Pat has that one. This email says, hey, John, great podcast. Interview request of the 80s and 90s bodybuilders, Brian Buchanan, the man with the smallest waist, and Frank Richards, the miracle man. All right, so I will look up those guys. I don't think either one of those guys are on Facebook. That's usually where I find people. But I will look into that. I think both of those guys still live in England, in the United Kingdom. So I've got some contacts over there. I'll try and find out where those guys are at and see if I could interview both of those guys. Those are both great suggestions. And they were both great 80s bodybuilders. And Frank Richards was a great 70s bodybuilder. He was in the 70 NABBA universe, and he won the tall class, the one that Frank Zane won the overall. So this email is from Larry. It says, hey, John, great job on the video. Oh, this is from Larry, who is John DeCola's friend. And Larry was the one who helped us set up the interview with John DeCola. And we used actually Larry's computer. So I sent Larry and John part one of our interview last week. I sent him the video. And he said, hey, John, great job on the video. Also, I showed him a video of you posing, and he was impressed with your physique. He was glad he didn't have to compete against you. Thanks for everything, and we are all looking forward to part two. All right, and I have part two also done on YouTube. So if you guys want to check that out on my YouTube page, that is already finished. Usually I do it later in the week, but I got it done earlier this week. All right, and I also got some comments on my Facebook page. Jerry Brano made a comment about the John DeCola interview. He said, I was there at the New York World's Fair when DeCola won the Junior Mr. America contest. He looked great, and I was very impressed with his physique. He seems like a great guy, and I'm glad he's still healthy and alert. Some great tales in this interview. And on my Bodybuilding Legend Show page on Facebook, Artie Lamparella said, great interview, total old school training and competition, incredible stories of the greatest period in bodybuilding history. And then finally, on my YouTube page, I got a lot of good comments. People really love this interview with John DeCola. Dean Phillips said, man, I just love watching John's interviews. As we say in Brooklyn, he's the Don Data. Andrew Welch said, these interviews keep getting better. Sergio's taper at the 3150 mark was incredible. Sergio Mulis said, another great interview, John. John DeCola looks great for 81. I would have guessed him 20 years younger. Ralph said, great interview. The guy is sharp as a tack. What a memory. Paul Hupp said, I can't believe he's 81 years old. Samuel Clemens said, great interview, John. I saw John DeCola win the IFBB Mr. America in 69 at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. DeCola was fantastic. Gwen Roberts said, another great interview and stories. Samuel Clemens again said, LOL, three Dianabol today would be considered natural. Free speech is never wrong, said John, you should have so many more subscribers. Another great interview. I can't believe John is 81. It just goes to show the great health benefits of keeping up an active life. Thank you for a great interview. Looking forward to part two. Austin Clark said, John looks great. Great interview. Rohit Curran said, the timestamps are helpful. George Buckhelt said, great, impressive interview with Mr. America, John DeCola. I just want to say that I have had the privilege to know John for several years, and what a classy guy. If you run into him in the gym and have a workout question, he will take the time and advise you on how to resolve your workout issues. Some really great old-time photos are shown in this interview. One question, is that the great Roy Callender at the 2305 mark? Thanks again, John Hansen. I'm really looking forward to the John DiCola interview part two. And the picture he's referring to was from the 1968 Mr. Universe that Frank Zane won, and that was Roy Callender because he was in that contest, and he was standing behind Frank, and I think Roy got sixth in that contest, but he looked really good. I thought he could have placed higher. Howard said, excellent, I loved it. Lee Van Cleef said, wow, he's still sharp as a tack. Very impressive. Dark Solis said, fantastic. James Ferrucci said, I was there that night. I stayed with Zabo, Zane, Colombo, and Arnold, all five of us in one room. Wow, at the Plaza Hotel in New York City. DiCola looks better in person. Arnold told me much better. And this one says, I competed as a teen at the Mr. North America show where Al Keane beat out Frank Zane. I remember it well. The late Ed Jubenville would host the shows. Frank was pissed, but Al was cut to the bone. I remember Frank was smooth. The local teen phenom up in Massachusetts here was Dave Mastorakis. John, you should ask Mr. DiCola what he thought of him. Enjoying the old days. Thanks, John. And this one finally says, who was the girl in the contest winner's picture? And I answered him. Her name was Ann Mishaw, and she was the one who won the Miss Bikini America or whatever they call that. All right, so that is all I got. And when we finish our interview here with John DiCola, part two, I am going to read another article, and this is a real old school one. It comes from the March 1970 issue of Muscle Builder magazine, and it's written by the great Rick Wayne, who I'm desperately still trying to get on the show. This is a contest report of the 1969 Mr. America, Mr. World, I believe the Mr. Universe, and the Mr. Olympia. I think they had all four of them that night. John DiCola won the America, Dave Draper won the World, Arnold, of course, won the Universe, and then Sergio won the Olympia, beating out Arnold. So Rick Wayne has got a contest report written as only Rick Wayne can write, and I will read that as soon as we finish up our interview with John DiCola. All right, so that's all I got for our opening. Here is part two of our interview with John DiCola, 1969 Mr. America. Here we go.
Had the pose downs, that's when it became really aggressive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
One would get in front of the other and bump them out of the way.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it seems like every number of years I go back into a contest. So I went into a lot of drug-free contests afterwards.
Okay. Later. Yeah. Okay?
And then when I was down here, I was living in Maryland, I went to train for the Masters of Mr. America, which was held in D.C., and I injured my leg, groin, and I couldn't work out. So I didn't go in. The next year it was held in Worcester, Massachusetts, my old hometown, mm-hmm. not, you know, a town in the state. So I trained and went up to Worcester, and it was supposed to have been drug tested, but they never showed up.
Oh, because the drug testing people never showed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy, there was a guy there that, trying to think of his name, Dave Bergman. He's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
He weighed about 225, probably 5'10". I weighed 175.
Mm-hmm.
And I won by 1 point. And he just swore backstage, pushed his family away, just was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, he was arrested for selling steroids, and then died from a massive heart attack.
Oh, no kidding. And this was supposed to be a drug tested show.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. Okay.
It wasn't.
How did you feel when you were competing in the Mr. America and you were drug free and you had to know that everybody else was taking
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No.
It was still so new at the time.
That's right. Exactly. I'm going to tell you something, John. You're not going to believe this, but if I had gone back in 1970, the transition between 69 and 70
mm-hmm.
was so phenomenal. If I had gone back, I wouldn't have placed.
Wow, really?
I'm as a judge looking, and Peter Caputo and Don. I mean, they were Don Peters.
Mike Katz. Yeah.
I wouldn't have beaten Katz that night.
But you beat him in 69.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, matter of fact, Peters beat him. Peter's come in second to me. And,
okay.
And then Caputo came in second in my height class.
Okay. But
Peter's in the tall class, yeah. And Mike came in second.
Mike's in the tall class, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how, so I didn't really have to compete. Maybe guys were taking them, like Diana Ball or something, and gave them an edge.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it. But after 1970, I did.
Wow. So from 69 to 70, it changed so much.
It was phenomenal.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it the edge was there. You had to get on to it. That's why I dropped out.
Yeah. That's why you stopped competing.
Exactly. Yeah. But the bug was still in me. I still wanted to compete, but I knew I couldn't.
Yeah.
They had now all these drug free, you know, testing contests came in. That's, and then I started entering. When I won the 64 Masters, I took 15 years off.
84. Yeah.
I'm sorry, 84. So in 2001, I enter this Maryland State Championship and won everything, won 7 contests in my 60s.
Really? No kidding.
Then in my 70s, I entered 2 contests and won those 2.
Jeez,
and then retired. So it was every few years, I retire, then come back.
Yeah, yeah. Man. So tell me about that, John. I'm really interested in learning that because I'm in my late 50s now. So how was your training and your diet and everything as you got into your 60s or 70s? You competed up into your 70s, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was more, you know, I used to eat, like I said, meat. Then I started eating tuna fish in the 80s.
Okay.
And then I switched over to chicken.
Okay.
So I need chicken sets.
Right.
Not only am I a big chicken, but I've been eating chicken. and it's my diet's clean, but every once in a while you go, you know, you cheat. But my thing was, I got off all dairy products. I was allergic to eggs and milk and cheese and all dairy. And when I did that, John, I went down to 180 pounds and been there ever since.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
You're still 180 today.
Pardon me?
You're still 180 today?
Yeah. Right on the nose. Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know if you can
you see me? Look at that. That's amazing.
Still.
Wow. That's
trying
great.
To keep up, you know.
Yeah. So what's your training like today? You're still training 5 days a week?
I was until the pandemic.
Okay.
And then I have a little bit of equipment here for my wife, and so I improvised. And Larry and I now, we go back to the gym at least 2 days a week.
Okay.
And they take your temperature, and they get a lot of cleaning, and you wear your mask. And the club is so big that even if they're crowded, it's not crowded.
Right, right. Okay.
So we're getting in really too good. So I'm splitting it, and then I'll do legs at home. I got some equipment here that I can do legs with.
Okay.
So
do you have any limitations on what you can do, John? Any aches and pains or anything?
Oh, yeah, back. I always have trouble with the back.
Or back, yeah.
I had taken a year off from all kinds of training. My back was so bad, and with the MRI and all the shots I had. And they said, well, John, your degenerative discs, they're all gone.
Yeah. But and you had this problem when you were younger, too, right, with your back?
I had scoliosis when I was young, yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
So what I do, John, is just improvise and work around it. And when I had taken that year off, I couldn't get out of my chair.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually came around and started working out again. When I went back to the gym, I was doing leg presses halfway with just 25 pounds on each end.
Yeah.
I was down to 160 pounds.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. You lost 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have to work out to kind of keep pumped up.
Yeah, okay.
I'm one of those with that metabolism, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of fortunate that way. I don't gain I don't gain a lot of weight if I don't work out. I have a tendency to lose.
Yeah. Now, a lot of guys, when they get older, they'll stop training heavy or with heavier weight, and they'll just go real light. Do you do that, or do you still
no.
train? You still train heavy?
Medium. That ego is still there, and I'll try.
Yeah.
Oh, preacher curls. I was doing, right up until the pandemic, I was doing 100-pound barbell preacher curls.
Okay.
And wow. Then I used 50-pound dumbbells for preacher, and I went to 55, and then I went to 60, because I was showing off. And I strained my arm, you know, the bicep.
Yes.
So I backed up a little, went back to 50. You know, as old as you get, you never learn. You still make the mistakes.
No, that's interesting, though, because, you know, I'm interested in how older people train, and someone like yourself who was a bodybuilding champion, and you're still in there training hard, and you're still pushing the weights. So, I mean, that's obviously what's helping keep the muscle, right?
John, it's right, yeah. And I'm embarrassed when I get, like, Larry, we'll go someplace, and Larry says, you know, this guy's Mr. Merrick.
Yeah.
And I get all embarrassed, you know.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, it's like, you know, I'm going to go out for Mr. Dunkin' Donut next time. I'm just one of the guys at the gym.
Yeah.
And I think young. Most of my friends are young. 20 years younger. I don't have anybody my age. Because most of them died. I had a big staff at the gym. They're gone. All the guys in the top, they're gone. My staff I had up in Massachusetts, they're gone.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's sad when I think about it, but I don't feel my age. Sometimes when I get up and my back is hurting, I'm in a lot of pain, I feel my age then, but most of the time, and I still think young. And I said, what's wrong with me? I shouldn't be thinking this way.
Right.
I'm still looking at those girls at the gym.
Right.
I'm not chasing them up, not like I used to, you know.
Right, right.
I don't do that anymore, but I look.
Yeah.
And I'll nudge Larry. I said, oh, man, did you see that beautiful girl? And Larry says, I saw her before you did.
John, you never took a testosterone replacement, right, when you got older?
No, but I tried.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I tried. My testosterone test was still normal.
Really?
But my doctor gave me one of those that you rub on the cream.
Yeah, the cream, yeah.
And I didn't feel, I felt bad.
Wow.
I really felt bad from it.
Hmm.
After about a week, I stopped taking it. I stopped rubbing.
Wow.
I think I gave it to Larry. put another 10 pounds on.
Well, that's interesting. So it seems like you've got a very fast metabolism, and you obviously have good genetics because you grew the muscle easily, but you have a sensitive system. So anything you take, like any kind of drugs you take, your body reacts very badly to that.
Exactly. I have asthma, and when they give me an inhalant, I went through several inhalants because every single one of them made me feel bad.
Wow.
I only found one that I can use when I have a flare-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're very healthy. You know, you still train heavy, and, you know, you obviously eat really well, right? Your diet is still good.
Yeah, I don't take any blood pressure or heart medicine or anything. Matter of fact, John, I went to the heart specialist for the first time.
Okay.
I come down with an irregular heartbeat. I was at my chiropractor, and the nurse said, get to the emergency room right away. She says, I was a cardiac nurse for 10 years. You're in trouble.
Wow.
So I go, set up an appointment with a cardio. And he does all the testing, and they gave me that overnight thing, you know, with the you got to sleep for 24 hours. And he says, yeah, you got a regular heartbeat. So I get on the treadmill for the stress test, and it goes away. The test, the damn thing goes away, and the doctor says, you can go. I said, what do you mean? He says, you're okay. He said, it's gone. It went away. And, John, I went back for a year checkup about 4 months ago. And he said, he took me out to the counter with the receptionist and the girls I got to give him the paper and make another appointment for in a year. And he says, girls, girls, turn around here. I want you to see this guy. And he takes my hand and he raises it up like a winner. And he says, how's this guy look for 60 years old? And I said, Doc, you're overdoing it. They're going to think I look bad for 60.
Right, right.
You should have said 70 or 75, yeah, you know. Yeah. But it's like we have a lot of fun today. We still have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And when John told you about the camaraderie and the fun we had at the gym, it was amazing. Everybody, we were like a big family. And we played jokes on each other, it was just a lot of fun. I look back and I had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. So when you were, I want to take you back to that 70 Olympia because that's interesting. When you were judging, who did you vote for? Did you vote for Arnold or did you vote for Sergio? Do you remember?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, really?
I can't. They had Leroy Colbert come in. We were in a big room. And we had the two guys right in front, I mean, in normal lighting. And they were going through their posing. And they had
Leroy. Did they do the prejudging at a different location than the theater?
No. It was backstage.
Oh, really? Backstage?
Yeah. Brooklyn had a lot of rooms back there.
Okay.
A lot of dressing rooms.
So you had Sergio and Arnold right there in front of you.
Yeah, right there. Oh, God, right there. You know, 10 feet away.
Yeah.
And then in 70, like 70... Arnold was on a platform and he was drawing pictures. And I'm standing right there and I'm looking at him and I'm saying, how could anybody build his body that good? I mean, it was perfection.
Hmm.
Everything, calves, everything was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I just shook my head. I said, oh man,
And how did Sergio look?
Well, I didn't see him on that platform, but he looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's why we had such a hard time trying to... I just wanted to give you a little... When Harold Poole and Larry Scott were competing with each other, the second time Scott won, they had Harold Poole ahead, the judges.
Right.
The promoter, Scott was going to do a world tour. So the promoter came in and said to the judge, look, I got to have Scott win.
No way.
Next year can be Poole's year. They said, yeah, they're so close, it doesn't matter. So, you know, we could do it.
Right.
Well, the next year, Sergio comes into the scene and Poole never wins.
Right, right.
So he got screwed.
Right, right.
And Poole was great. He had a great physique.
Did you see that year, too, the first year Sergio?
Yeah. Okay. I saw all the contests from 1965 on.
Wow, no kidding. I
saw Draper and Reg Lewis and they were all. I mean that the contest that we'd have put on, he'd have a live orchestra, he'd have the MCs and the ushers all dressed in tuxedos. It was class.
Yeah. You know?
Now at that time we weren't posing to music. But the orchestra played music.
Right, right.
We didn't have our own music at the time. That didn't come in to...
Later, yeah.
To later, yeah.
Yeah.
But those years at that particular Brooklyn Academy of Music was absolutely phenomenal. I've been to contests since. I've never seen anything like it.
I've never
heard anything.
I talked to people that have gone to those shows, and they said the noise level, the atmosphere, it was just incredible.
It was electrifying.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And you had all the AAU guys were at those contests. I mean, I remember Joe Bender and Tom Sansone and all the guys that won in the past that were still alive. They were there. You know, I met so many of the old-timers.
They were there just watching it? They didn't compete?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, do you remember when Pearl, he won so many times, he won the universe, but
Yeah.
I think the last time he won, Sergio was there.
Right.
Arnold, Rita wouldn't let Arnold go.
Right, right.
And Pearl won.
Yeah.
And Pearl was fantastic.
Yeah.
I never saw him up close like I did Arnold with posing, but the guy was fantastic. He was unbelievable. And he could have been an Olympia if he chose to.
Yeah, I wonder why he never did. I guess he didn't trust Joe Weider, huh?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when the day after I won the America, we went for pictures. And all the guys were in there, and they're taking turns to have your pictures. You know, you'd have a dozen different pictures taken.
Jimmy Caruso was a photographer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember the Sergio came up, and he was arguing with Weider, and he was pounding the table with his fist. I want my money now! Bam! Bam!
Wow.
And I'm saying, holy shit, are you serious? You know, there's no love between these two guys.
Right, right.
But I was always respectful to, especially guys who are older and in that position, you know. Even if I disagreed, I was always respectful.
Right, right.
To them.
Yeah.
And,
How were those Brooklyn Academy shows compared to the Mr. America? Because you did both. You did the Mr. America and you did the IFBB.
Can't compare to the Brooklyn Academy music.
Yeah.
Can't compare. When we started out, that Boston YMCA, there's a sheet. The background is a sheet.
Yeah.
With one light above you.
Right.
It was 2 o'clock in the morning because you had to wait.
Yeah, you had to do the weightlifting first. Yeah.
Did you go through that at all? Oh, you came later.
No, I my first show was 79, so yeah, they just had the bodybuilding by itself.
You're just a kid.
Yeah.
How old are you?
57.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Prime. The prime. I think the prime is in your 50s.
Really?
I believe that.
Yeah.
You can make great, you can stay in such good shape and make great progress in your 50s.
Yeah.
But you know, the best time in life for me was my 70s.
Really? Huh. How come?
Because by the time you reach 70 and you're still in good shape and you're healthy, you're comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
You know, any of those idiosyncrasies
insecurities or.
Insecurity. That's the one I was looking at. That's the one I was looking at. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Be yourself.
Right, right. You know?
And I'm not chasing the ladies anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can relax. I'm comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, when I got married, I had to stop anyway.
Right. How long have you been married, John?
I went with her for 20 years.
Wow.
I was engaged for 20 years and married her 20 years ago.
Okay. Wow. You guys dated for 20 years.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And I smartened up.
Yeah. Well, I believe you because I'm in my late 50s now, and I feel more comfortable, you know, less insecurities and stuff, and more myself now. So I can imagine as you get older, you feel more like that.
The only problem is you're in your 50s now, and then 10 years, you're going to be in your 60s. Yeah, that's good. You know, that's still good.
Yeah.
And well, when you get in your 80s, hey, it's getting pretty slim, you know. You,
right,
10
right.
Years, you're going to be.
Right.
So if I go out any time, I've lived a long life.
Yeah.
I consider this, when you hit 80, you hit 56, 55, chances are you're going to hit 60 and 65.
Right.
But the longer you live, the longer you will live.
Okay, okay.
Okay, that's, you know, in other words, I'm 80. I have a better chance of hitting 90 than you do.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you will catch up, right?
Yeah.
And it's even all the experience that we have, and we have a lot of knowledge and experience. But I'm just like a kid in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes up and asks me a question. I have to think back. Well, how would you solve this, you know?
Yeah.
It's not right off the top of the head. It's sometimes it takes some thought.
Yeah. When you were training at the gym, did you get guys asking you questions, like younger guys? You did. Okay, good. That's good.
I had the most recent ones was a bunch of high school kids. Somebody said that's a former Mr. America. So they come over, and this one kid, I said, he's asking me questions. I said, look, how many days you work out? He said, 7. 7 days. I said, you don't take a day off. You don't take a day off with your girlfriend. No, I work out. He says, I work out twice a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And I said, well, the advice I'm going to give you, less is more. Cut down. If you want to make more progress, cut back.
Yeah.
Give your body a chance to rest and recuperate.
Right, right.
Now, I was a disciple of Vince Gironda.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah, I went out to Vince's gym. I trained there 3 different times back in 67 and 82.
Okay.
And 60. Don Holworth was my training partner.
Oh, really? Okay.
Back in 62. I met Don in a Pasadena gym, which was run by Gene Mose at the time. He was a good photographer.
Yeah.
And Don and I trained together. And then when I went back, he was training at Vince's. The Pasadena gym closed up, so he went to North Hollywood and trained.
Okay.
And one day we were watching Scott doing lat pull downs, and he had his ankles under the T-bar on his knees, and he had the bar that you held so your knuckles are facing your face, mm-hmm. or facing the side of your face. And he'd come down and roll. He'd come down to almost behind the head and then roll to the front. And you can see the striations all the way down to his ankles.
Wow, okay.
Don and I looked at each other, and Don said, I don't believe it. What are we doing here? And I said, Don, I don't believe it either. But that was at Scott's prime, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had those melon delts and beautiful shaped arms. And
yeah. I wish I could have seen him in his prime, because I heard he was amazing.
And a good looking guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be good looking. A lot of guys with the roids, you know, lose their hair, right?
Right, right.
And so it's a different scenario today. But back then, if you were good looking like Scott, he made money with what he did.
Yeah.
He made good money.
Yeah. What do you think of the bodybuilders today, John? Because, you know, it's been a long time since you competed, and the reason you got out of it was because of the drugs. So, obviously, now the guys are taking way, way more. The sport is so different. What do you think of the guys today?
I don't keep up on it.
You don't keep up on it?
Okay. I don't keep abreast of it. Larry does, and he'll say to me, he'll mention these names, and somebody won Olympia, somebody won. And I said, Larry, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
I said, I have no interest, and I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not blown away by 300-pound guys cut up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have to bottle when you walk. But that's their choice. I'm not downing them. That's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's become a different game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I think that's why, I think the nostalgia with the 50s, but especially the 60s, that's when it really became
mm-hmm.
the prominence. And I think that's why it's so big.
Yeah, people still remember those days, yeah.
In those days, they were still the kind of the innocent days.
Yeah, yeah.
Drugs weren't prevalent, you know.
Right.
So I think that's probably why. But your question about today's, no. I admire anybody that can win a championship. To be a champion, you have to go all out.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in that you sacrifice your health to become. And you know, John, other sports, it wasn't just bodybuilding. It was everything. Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You had 100,000 federations across the country in wrestling, small-town federation, and all these guys were taking steroids. Nobody checking them. Nobody's testing.
Mm-hmm.
And thousands of guys dying.
Yeah.
I'm taking too many steroids.
Yeah.
And I remember the bodybuilders from the yesteryear that never made it to 40. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Because they were just taken to... I worked out in Vince's gym. There was a guy by the name of Bob Tessier.
Yeah, and, an actor. Yeah.
He... One day, and we there were a lot. I had met all these TV stars and movie stars, and worked out with, you know, Carl Weathers and Kevin Dobson, and
yeah,
and I could go on and on. But he went up to the mirror one day, and all these good look. I mean, they were good looking guys. They were there in Hollywood because they were good looking, right?
Right.
He goes up and he looks in the mirror and he goes, "Ah, yeah, guys." He says, "I'm still making movies because of my." Good looks. Oh, you guys, you're collecting on the point. You know how he got into the movies. He had taken me and gone to his garage, and he had these three motorcycles that were unbelievable. And the movie company rented his bikes. They wanted his bikes, so he's delivering at the bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And when the producer saw him and the director, they wrote him in, they wrote this, rewrote the script and put him as a character. They said, "You've got to be in the movie." And that was The Born Losers.
Oh, okay.
He was a motorcycle guy in The Born Losers.
Yeah.
Then he went on to, you know, Hard Times with Charles Bronson and with Burt Reynolds in that, what was that football movie?
Oh, Long and Sharp.
Yeah, that was it. See, I had that senior moment, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. Now, that I do get every now and then.
Yeah. I interviewed Earl Menard, and Earl was in a scene in a movie with him, in The Deep, and they had a fight scene. Did you ever see that movie with...
No.
It was Nick Nolte and Jacqueline Bisset, and it was in the Caribbean somewhere, the Bahamas, and Earl Menard was... I forget if he was a good guy. I think... He was the bad guy, and Bob was the good guy. And they had a fight scene, and they had a like a motor from a boat. And they were fighting with the motor. You know, like, he was holding the motor from the boat, and he was trying to cut him with it and stuff. It was a pretty intense fight scene, yeah.
You know, I can't remember. I might have seen that,
yeah.
But I can't recall that.
You'll have to rent that, yeah. That was a good fight
scene. Yeah, I'll have to look that one up.
Right.
I'll have to see that.
Yeah.
But Bob died of stomach cancer.
Did he? Okay.
He was living on Dianabol.
Really?
He weighed about 130 pounds. And he was Lawrence, Massachusetts. And we got along because we were both in Massachusetts, you know?
Right.
Tough guy.
Yeah, I heard he was a real tough guy in real life. Yeah. Well, when I see you, John, I have a friend in Chicago. His name's Merle Hall. Lifetime drug-free. And he was competing in his 70s, still looking amazing. You know, he had great abs. He always had really good abs. And I just saw a video of him on Facebook. He's going to be 80 this month, and he was doing two-finger pull-ups, you know.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. He's obviously a little thinner now. He's 80 years old. But, there's a guy. He told me once, I did an interview with him, and he said he's never been on any medication his whole life, never blood pressure medication, anything. So that's just a perfect example of what bodybuilding can be, you know, and you're a perfect example of that, too.
Would you, I'm impressed with you. Would you give him my regards?
Absolutely, yeah. I'll try to, like, hook you guys up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
But God. And I think of 80 years old. Oh, God. I can't believe how the time flies after 50.
I know.
Slow down, John, because it flies.
I believe it. Yeah. I mean, the last 10 years have flown by so fast, I can't believe it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got to savor what we have, the moment.
Right. Right, yeah.
It's fleeting. It just goes by.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to lecture you.
I go to guys
for advice now.
Yeah.
I go to guys like you for advice.
Yeah. And then, like you said, when you get older, your friends pass away, and, you know, your family members and stuff. So that's a tough thing, too.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I always, my wife is younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, when I introduce her, I says, my wife is a lot younger than I am. Well, how old, how much younger? I said, a year and a half.
Yeah.
But you got to, that sense of humor has got to stay.
Right. Well, I have a friend, Jerry Branham. He used to write for the magazines, and Jerry grew up in Brooklyn, New York. So when the Weider shows were in the 60s, he used to go to them as a teenager and see them. So he saw you compete. And I told him he was going to do an interview with you, and he's like, oh, I'm really interested in listening to that because, you know, Jerry's, I think, in his 70s now. So he's amazed at how great a shape you were in.
What's his last name?
Branham.
Branham?
Yeah.
It sounds familiar. I don't know if maybe I heard of him before, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's done a lot of interviews with me because he's been around. He moved to California in the 60s, so he got to meet Arnold and Zane and hung around with those guys and stuff.
Oh, he was in the big time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the big time, okay.
But he wrote articles for Weider's Magazine, so he was covering a lot of the shows and stuff. So
the thoughts of going out when I had won, Weider wanted me to come out for pictures, you know, for the ads and stuff. And
yeah, yeah.
I just, if I had gone, I probably wouldn't be here today because I probably would have gotten into
the drugs.
And, I mean, who knows? If you wanted to stay in competition, you had to.
Yeah.
But don't you think, John, today is a different, I mean, even what Arnold took, if Arnold took what they took today, can you imagine? He was great as a, can you imagine what he would have looked like?
Oh, right? My God, yeah, I know.
300 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I often wonder, like, if the guys back then would have did what they're doing today. I'm sure they would have. But it seemed like back then the judging was based more on not just the size, but also the symmetry, how good-looking the physiques were. You know, it seemed like there was judging. The judging standards were different back then than they are today.
I think so.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It's been a while since it's been a long time since I judged contests. I didn't want to judge anymore. If I went to a contest, I wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I gave that up.
What they've done today is they've created all these different divisions now. They've got classic physique, which is the more Frank Zane symmetrical physique. And then the bodybuilding is just for the size. You know, those guys are huge. You know, the guy that won the Mr. Olympia last year was almost 300 pounds. So it's just different. They don't judge them all together anymore. It's different. Like, oh, you have a more symmetrical physique, you're classic, you know. And then they have the board shorts, physique. Yeah. So if those guys don't have legs or whatever, they just have a nicer, those guys are pretty big too. But it's just different categories now. So it's not like all one category.
That's pretty good because the guys with the smaller bone structure, they can't carry the weight.
Yeah.
They're not designed to carry that kind of weight. And that's good that they have a venue too.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, like when Frank Zane was winning Mr. Olympia, he wasn't ever a big guy, but the judges still judged him ahead of the big guy. So the judges back then must have been able to, you know, differentiate between someone who's more symmetrical, someone who's bigger, the proportion, the symmetry. They had to take all that into account, you know.
There was a guy that was natural that came after me, Bob Gallucci.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I met Bob, yeah.
No, but it had to be 10 times harder for Bob.
Yeah.
Because he was up against the drugs.
Right, right.
I was in the 60s. They weren't prevalent. But he was going up against them, and he stayed natural.
Yeah, he was a big guy, too.
A big boy.
Yeah.
He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're sitting at dinner, and he comes up, and he starts to talk, and he said, I want to thank John DiCola for the inspiration, early inspiration.
Kidding.
He says, can you imagine? I went to his gym one time and worked out with him, and he gave me a poster with his picture and autographed it, and I had it in my basement. I had it in my gym for years.
Wow, no kidding.
And I never expected that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we had Chris Dickerson was inducted. And Chris is really kind of in bad shape in a way, crippled up, you know.
I heard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And a lovely guy, and he came to see me in Framingham from New York. Never call. I didn't know. He walked in. And this was after he won Mr. America. And here's Chris Dickinson. I said, Chris, what? You know? And I said, look, let me take you to lunch. He had a friend with him. And I said, I'm going to take you to a place I go. It's a blue-collar place. Not fancy. As a matter of fact, a lot of cops go there because the food's good. But So we went to town, and we get in the booth, and the waitress comes over, and she looks at him, and she says, hey, didn't I see you on the Tonight Show last week with Johnny Carson? He says, yeah. She says, well, what are you doing with this shithead? I said, Chris, I told you. It's not a classy place. Well, some of these things you can't make up.
Right.
But we had, like I said before, we had so much fun. Always had a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, you miss out.
Yeah.
Too many guys get road rages.
Right. Right. Right.
You know. I mean, a lot of these instances on the highway. A lot of these.
Yeah.
From somebody on steroids, they have a road rage.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I saw, I don't know if you saw this, it was a video, it was on about 2 weeks ago, and it showed this two guys get out of, they get into a road rage, and one guy was a bodybuilder, about looked like he weighed about 270, cut up, and he's dancing in a circle around this taller guy, tall, just thin, and he's going, and he's beating his chest like this, you know, he's got this, and he went and charged the guy. The guy threw him down, got on top of him, and knocked him out. Hit him three times. Knocked him out.
Right.
Do you think that guy's got a big head anymore?
No, I hope not.
Back to earth.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
Well, John, I'll let you go. I know you're probably busy. It was great talking to you. Great finally getting to meet you. And I wish you all the best, man. You look fantastic.
I appreciate those words, John. Coming from you, I appreciate it. And I'm glad I met you. Larry told me about you. I didn't know anything about what you were doing.
Right, right.
Well, I saw that interview with John Taylor, and I really appreciate you of you thinking of me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm trying to get the old-time guys on here, you know, so people learn about the history of the sport. So.
Wait. You mean... You don't mean the old guys. You mean the older guys.
Older guys.
Older guys.
The legends. I should say the legends. The legends on here.
Okay, John. It's a pleasure, man. I tell you.
Yeah, it was great meeting you, John. I wish you the best of health. You look fantastic. And thanks for all the stories, and thanks for your story about how you competed and stuff. It was great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take care, John.
I'll give you one more flex.
All right. Awesome. I was going to ask you if you didn't do it.
You take it.
All right, John.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks again to John DeCola for taking the time out to do this interview. I'm sure all of us enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you guys have any comments or questions about the show, you have any suggestions for guests, please email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I want to thank our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank all our Patreon donors who are generously donating money to the podcast each month to help keep it going. If you guys are interested in being a Patreon donor and donating a little bit of money to the show, you can do that at the website bodybuildinglegendsshow.com, which is our official website, and you'll see the Patreon link right in the upper right-hand corner. All right, so before we go, I do want to read this article from Rick Wayne. The article is titled From Where I Sat, and it's from the March 1970 issue of Muscle Builder Magazine, volume number 11, issue number 3. It says, the biggest event in bodybuilding history as seen by an enthusiastic fan, a top competitor himself. Here's part one to tell you how it began. Next month, the grand finale. Don't miss it. By Rick Wayne, Mr. World. It is but a few hours since the mammoth 1969 IFBB muscle get-together, and I am writing this report some 30,000 feet above Nova Scotia en route to London. The difficulty I experience in my efforts to put thoughts to paper is due, I hasten to add, not to a suspect memory, but to an unusually titillating Air Canada hostess in a miniskirt that leaves me in no doubt whether as to the exact location of the action. In fact, if you will allow me this one boast, I can recall events long past with surprising exactness and clarity. Why, I remember as if it were yesterday, the last time Glenn Sell appeared in a muscle show. And if that is not ample proof of my powers of retention, then I'm a two-tailed winged barracuda. The truth is, I realize how keen you are to know the details of the big show, and since I never wish to be said I keep the good readers of Muscle Builder waiting, I am determined that this piece will be ready for the printers by the time we land at Heathrow. From the very start, let me set your minds at rest on the question of Sergio Oliva. For months, it has been rumored that the two-time winner of Muscle Dump's premier award had hung up his posing briefs a la Larry Scott and gone into seclusion. Some even referred to him as Howard Hughes with muscles. Oliva fans will therefore be relieved to know that the myth is alive and well and living in Frank Sinatra's hometown. True, his Roman days have been somewhat curtailed thanks to the lovely raven-haired Mexican senorita whom he married some 12 months ago. But you may rest assured matrimony has in no way that is immediately obvious to me retarded the growth of Mrs. Oliva's prize package. Moreover, he continues to scare the pants off all and sundry, all except one 22-year-old fledgling who came ever so close to causing the biggest sensation in the history of physique contests. But more about that later. For me, the excitement began when I was informed by Mr. John B. Knox, managing editor at Weider UK, that as there was not sufficient time to hold a contest to decide who would represent IFBB Britain at the show due to the recent reorganization of Weider UK, it would be left up to me to wave the flag in New York. Luckily, I'd been training 6 weeks in preparation for the Mr. World show, and Mr. Knox felt I stood as good of a chance as anyone of bringing home some Mr. Universe gold. I flew to New York 3 days before the big event, and not altogether surprisingly, the main question on everyone's lips was, will Schwarzenegger take on Sergio Oliva? To be quite candid, I was much more concerned with whether or not I would have to do battle against the Austrian in the Mr. Universe contest. Came the morning of the 13th, and I joined the many representatives from different countries at the famous Brooklyn Academy of Music. It was good seeing old faces like Vic Downs of Canada, Frank Zane, fresh from a most successful appearance at the IFBB Mr. Western America show, Joe Nista, Conrad LaFramboise, funny man Chris Ford, and Mike Katz. Don Peters with a toothpaste ad smile that probably had as much to do with the fact that he was crowned IFBB Mr. Western America only the night before, was also present. We engaged in the usual muscle talk that normally precedes the serious business of preparing for the actual contest, and I learned that Arnold Schwarzenegger definitely planned to compete in both the Mr. Universe and Mr. Olympia events. By all accounts, he looked plain out of the sphere and would wipe out all competition. But I refused to be dismayed. After all, Arnold was no stranger to me. Had he not been beaten by a 185-pound Frank Zane just 12 months before? Suddenly, without warning, a familiar, "Hiya, Ricky baby," echoed across the vast auditorium. All eyes turned left in the direction of the well-known sound. You guessed it, Sergio Oliva was in town. Somehow I survived his usual enthusiastic bear hug salutation without too many side effects, other than a suspected cracked rib and a couple of slipped discs. I swear that man has no idea the suffering he inflicts on his best friends. Sergio was his usual flamboyant self, immaculate to a fault, neatly attired in a check suit that spoke volumes in favor of expensive tailoring, matching waistcoat, white shirt, and dark tie, he presented an image not unlike a top male model for Sears and Roebuck. Yes, the massive clanking gold bracelet, the gold rings, and mayoral chain of office necklace were, as ever, conspicuously present. So was a little mod hat. I looked down at his feet to be reassured the golden boy had not changed much in his way of dressing. The Cuban-heeled black patent leather boots glistened in the semi-darkness. Bodybuilding's fashion plate had not lost his touch for choosing the threads. But even under his now attire, it was obvious Sergio's physique had undergone some changes. He appeared even more massive than before, a fact which prompted me to study his face for telltale signs of overbulking. Far from being soft and pudgy in appearance, it bore a lean, trained look that is synonymous with contest condition. I felt the bulge in his left sleeve, rock hard as usual. Sergio smiled knowingly. You're going to see something tonight, baby. I tell you, you're going to see, but you ain't going to believe it. Ain't nobody going to believe it. He was right, of course. But just then, I wasn't quite sure what he meant. Even when I pushed him to elaborate, my friend merely echoed the ominous declaration, ain't nobody going to believe it. I would have to wait a few more hours to find out the truth. Soon it was time for the prejudging of the Mr. America contest, and we settled into our seats to watch the proceedings. The boys lined up before the judges on stage, and after the three height classes had been viewed from all the relevant angles, it became evident the title would go to either Don Peters, Mike Katz, or John DeCola. Mike's famous chest appeared even more phenomenal than I'd remembered, and Don looked every inch a winner, as impressive as I had been led to believe. This was my first meeting with John DeCola, although I was familiar with his bodybuilding career. He appeared shorter than I imagined him to be, judging from his photographs, but no doubt about it, his physique bore that championship seal of approval. Certainly, the above-mentioned three would present a giant-sized headache to any judging panel. The Mr. American competitors were vying for the best arms trophy when Mr. Schwarzenegger breezed in, accompanied by Franco Colombo. He eased himself as gently as a 240-pounder might into a chair somewhere behind Oliva, and soon I was made aware that whatever else California might have done for him, she had no adverse effect on his leg-pulling talent. "Hi, skinny," he boomed into my left ear. "How's England?" I assured him that no one back home was actually grieving over his departure. With that, he directed his ammo at Sergio. "Monster, are you in shape?" he hissed. Sergio mumbled something about Arnold needing a lesson in respect for his elders and superiors, which caused Big A to issue that foghorn blast that passes for a hearty laugh in Austria. The leg pulling continued for the next 20 minutes until Bud Parker announced it was time for the competitors to prepare for the prejudging of the Mr. Universe contest. In the light of the warm-up room, I came face-to-face with Joe Weider's Frankenstein and reality. Even in a sweatsuit, it was painfully obvious that this was not the Schwarzenegger I had warned against competing in the 1968 Mr. Universe pageant. Gone were the flabby, bloated appearance, the bulky, box-like midsection and pale skin that almost cost him the NABBA Mr. Universe title in London and which wrecked his chances a week later in Miami. Indeed, the man who now stood before me bore little resemblance to the Schwarzenegger of the 1968 NABBA Mr. Universe contest. As a competitor in the 1969 IFBB event, I was forced, regrettably, to admit Joe Weider's declaration that he would launch a new Schwarzenegger on the bodybuilding world was certainly no idle boast, but a promise which he had kept. Thoughtful friend that he is, Arnold insisted I should follow him into an unoccupied dressing room where he then proceeded to give me a preview of my irrevocable fate. As soon as he had removed his sweatsuit, I found myself hating the day Joe Weider first set eyes on Schwarzenegger. Here was Austria's secret weapon unveiled. It seemed hardly possible that he actually weighed 240 pounds. So great was his muscular delineation. Abdominals, obliques, chest, back, delts, serratus, calves, leg biceps, thighs, you name it, they all stood out, sickeningly trained to razor sharpness. And his arms, you just wouldn't believe. Schwarzenegger mentioned quite casually that up to 3 weeks before the show, he weighed 260 pounds, but had, on the advice of Joe Weider, trimmed down to his present mind-shattering condition. It will no doubt prove of great interest to all trainees, so be sure to read the story of how Arnold trained down from 260 to 240 pounds in the almost impossible space of 3 weeks. Soon the short class competitors had appeared before the judges, and it was my turn, with the rest of class two, to do my stuff. Later, a glutton for punishment, I watched Arnold go through his paces. A mere formality, in fact, for by then we all knew who would be the IFBB Mr. Universe of 1969. Sometime afterwards, I sought Sergio's opinion of the little one. "Very good," he replied, taking full responsibility for the understatement of the year. "Very good, but wait till tonight. Ain't nobody going to believe it." I wish to state that whoever suggested Arnold should be allowed to compete in the subdivisions contest must possess a pretty sick sense of humor, and I will be more than willing to supply him with the address of Dick Tyler's psychoanalyst. The result was as predictable as a politician's nomination speech. But what was truly amazing was the battle between the 240-pound Arnold and the 185-pound Franco Colombo for the title of most muscular. One normally expects this award to go to the lighter man, but there was Arnold giving Franco the fright of his life. The same situation arose when the judges called for the best abdominals poses. 12 months earlier, it would have been ludicrous for Arnold to even contemplate winning either of the two categories. Now he was making the judges sweat. Of all the fantastic achievements of Joe Weider with his pupils, surely his work with Arnold Schwarzenegger must go down in bodybuilding history as the most astounding. We broke up for lunch at Junior's, a restaurant just a few hundred yards from the Academy, where the cabaret starred Oliva and Schwarzenegger. I trust I got the billing in the right order. In their super leg pull act, both men possessed a fantastic sense of humor, and they kept us fully entertained throughout the meal, which included gallons of milk, an unmentionable amount of cottage cheese, fruit, steak, and eggs. Later, Sergio introduced his wife. She is a beautiful lady who takes obvious pride in her famous husband's achievements. "He's so sweet," she says with touching simplicity. "Honestly, you wouldn't believe." But we do believe. Only when she mentions that he is also gentle and my bruised ribs scream wickedly against her every word do I begin to suspect she might possibly be a little biased. There she stood beside her husband, this diminutive, delicately feminine example of nature's best work, and one could not help but admire, marvel even, at her courage. But such is love, they say. C'est l'amour. It was 7:30 before we knew it, and the curtain rose slowly, signaling the opening of the show. A spotlight picked out Bud Parker, resplendent as always in red mohair. He welcomed the Capacity House before introducing Ben Weider, president of the IFBB. Ben beamed proudly as he informed everyone of the progress that's being made in the move to have bodybuilding and powerlifting accepted by the Olympic powers that be. Then he introduced the judges and other celebrities, some of whom have traveled enormous distances to be present at the show of shows. In true New York fashion, they were warmly welcomed by the audience. The curtains came down, only to rise again 2 seconds later, revealing the true meaning of the International Federation of Bodybuilders. There we stood, each proudly bearing the national flag. The top representatives from some 40 different countries, from lands as far apart as Czechoslovakia and Trinidad, from the Philippines, Bermuda, Canada, Japan, Barbados, Yugoslavia, Britain, Sweden, Norway, the United States. From every corner of muscledom, they came to unite under the banner of the IFBB. A truly awe-inspiring sight, one which speaks well for the pacifying event, the friend-making influence of sport in general, and bodybuilding in particular. Then Bud was at the microphone again. What a healthy-looking, energetic, enthusiastic person this man is. I know what Bud goes through at every show, the work involved, and the times when it all seems so unappreciated. But Bud remains in control, enjoying the audience, enjoying the show. I can think of no better master of ceremonies or organizer than you, Bud. Take a bow. Bud introduces a very professional, exciting juggling act, which sets the pace, and the big show is truly underway. The artist performed amazing feats of equilibrium, which left the enthusiastic audience shouting for more. But it was time for the Mr. America contenders to present their posing routines. As always, there were special favorites who received ear-splitting ovations. Peters, Tony Carroll, Ed Giuliani, DiCola, all received the now famous New York brand of welcome. The posing display was followed by another variety act and then a short intermission. Back in the dressing room, Sergio Oliva and Arnold Schwarzenegger were hard at it. Their leg pulling had now developed into full-scale psychological warfare, not unlike that which preceded the much-publicized Clay Liston first heavyweight encounter. "Hey, monster, have you heard? I've got the sexiest legs in Hollywood," announced the jovial Austrian. "Yeah," retorted Oliva, clad from head to toe in a butcher's white overall that would do justice to any detergent advertisement. "I heard, but I tell you, babe, this ain't going to be no sex contest, and this time you're going to be competing against a man for a change." Arnold ducked that one. "Did they tell you about the Mr. Western America show?" he countered. "For years, they can't get more than 25 cats to watch. But suddenly, some smart cookie pays sexy Schwartz a heap of dollars to appear, and zap, they can't find a place big enough to hold the fans. And they're mostly women." Sergio replies with bullet speed and effect. "Aw, come on now, they just want to take a fast look at you before Sergio wipes you out. You're going to be plenty scarce after tonight, baby." Arnold adds his own vociferous laughter to our own, and marks up one round to the myth. Meanwhile, on stage, it's action once again. The Mr. Universe competitors have started their posing display. One by one, they mount the podium, some receiving particularly loud ovations, all enjoying the enthusiasm of the most receptive audience on earth. It's not quite my turn to pose, so I sit in the wings with Mike Katz. Every inch a champion, Still, he is as nervous as a raw beginner about the results of the Mr. America contest. You never quite get over the butterflies in the stomach sensation that plagues competitors before the results of any event are announced. Who do you think will take it, Rick? He asked, referring to the Mr. America title. I tell him it's a difficult situation when there are so many top champs in the contest. However, I assure him that no one will beat him for the best chest award. This hardly satisfies him, for he slams his left fist into his open right hand. What the heck, he exclaims. I'm only 23. I've still got time. But doesn't Don Peters look great? That's the stuff which Mr. America winners are made of. Sure, he wants the title. They all do. But they refuse to be so blinded by ambition that they're unaware of the fact that someone else might be that bit better and so more deserving of the top award. Then my name is called and I walk up to the closing platform and I do my best. I recognize voices in the audience and consider whether I have appeared before a better audience. I'm forced to admit I have not. As I hit my last pose, I try to imagine what their reaction will be when Arnold steps under the posing light. I don't have long to wait. Someone else takes my place on the platform. He poses for 3 minutes, and then Bud Parker begins the announcement that Arnold Schwarzenegger is next. But he does not get further than, from Austria, suddenly the normally uninhibited, extrovert, excitable audience pulls out all the stops. Pandemonium reigns. Arnold steps onto the posing platform and strikes 3 poses that numb the minds of the onlookers. If during the judging he looked tremendous, formidable, he now appears positively monolithic. A magnificent bronze statue that moves. Awesome. More inspiring than even the greatest works of the ancient great sculptors. Although Herculean, his physique possesses the aesthetic symmetry of Michelangelo's famous David. Truly the greatest monument to Joe Weider's bodybuilding genius. And then Arnold walks off. More. It is 5 minutes before Bud Parker's message reaches the excitement-crazed audience. Since Arnold is already NABBA Mr. Universe winner, he may, if he so wishes, compete for the Mr. Olympia title. Arnold will be back to pose against Sergio Oliva. They will just have to wait until then to take a second look at the miracle who is determined to curb Oliva's winning ways. Minutes later, we were on stage once again for the distribution of the various awards. Mr. America goes to John DeCola. Mike Katz takes best chest. They congratulate each other. Don Peters smilingly accepts his trophy as winner of the tall class. I am amazed but happy to receive the best poser trophy for the second time. And when it is announced, I've also won my height division. My day is made. You'll never guess who took best back, best legs, best chest, best arms, plus the overall Mr. Universe title. More detailed reports concerning the full results of the Mr. America and Mr. Universe appear elsewhere in this magazine. Then it was time for the Battle of the Century. Read next month's issue of this magazine for a full report of the most exciting, funnest, astounding, greatest Mr. Olympia ever. Read about Oliva's reaction to the result. Read what Arnold said to Sergio afterwards. I'll tell you of my private conversation with the myth. What his wife said to me regarding the next Mr. Olympia contest. You will laugh, you may cry, but you'll enjoy reading the behind-the-scenes report of the 1969 Mr. Olympia contest. Don't miss next month's issue of the magazine. And then they got the results real quick here. Mr. America, of course, overall winner was John DeCola. Short class was Warren Frederick in first, Joe Nista Jr. in second, John Iano in third. Medium class went to John DeCola. Peter Caputo in second with Chuck Fouts in third. Tall class went to Don Peters. Mike Katz in second. Tony Carroll third. Best arms went to DeCola. Best chest went to Katz. Best back went to Gordon Babb. Best abdominals went to Josu Rivera. Best legs went to Peters. And most muscular went to Frederick. Then in the Mr. Universe, overall winner was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Short class winner was Franco Colombo. Johnny Maldonado in second, Elliot Gilchrist in third. Medium class went to Rick Wayne, Serge Jacobs in second, and Fred Jarrett in third. Tall class went to Arnold, second, Conrad Laframboise, and third, Vic Downs. Best arms went to Arnold. Best chest went to Arnold. Best back went to Arnold. Best abdominals went to Franco. Best legs went to Arnold. Most muscular went to Franco. And Rick Wayne also won best poser, a prize open to both Mr. America and Mr. Universe contestants. In the Miss Americana, Anne Michaud took first, Michelle Matisse took second, Margaret Perret took third, And most shapely went to Michaud. And, of course, the Mr. Olympia was won by Sergio Oliva, with Arnold coming in a very close second. All right. Great article by Rick Wayne. I'll have to get my hands on that second part, which was probably the April or May issue in 1970 of Muscle Builder Magazine. All right. That's all we got for the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We will be back next week. Stay healthy. Enjoy your workouts. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care.